here's a story from The World.
With just 14 days to the general election, it makes sense that the incumbent would want to highlight a last-minute foreign policy success. President Donald Trump appeared to do just that on Monday with an announcement about Sudan. From Nairobi, The World's Halima Gikandi brings us that story.
Sudanese engineer Abdallah Khalil has been glued to the news for days, with CNN on his television, Facebook on his laptop, and Twitter on his phone.
Because there have been rumors and rumors and rumors every day, and everybody was so anxious. I slept like 4 a.m. yesterday, waiting for the tweet.
The tweet finally came yesterday from President Donald Trump's official account. He announced plans to remove Sudan from the U.S. state sponsors of terrorism list after more than 20 years. This is a big deal for 49-year-old Khalil. He lives in Ethiopia now, but he was born and raised in Sudan's capital, Khartoum.
It's a great news with my generation of people who are getting into 50, and we lost almost 30 years of our life.
30 years of his life, he says, living under the regime of former dictator Omar al-Bashir. Bashir was ousted from power in Sudan last year, but his administration gutted the country's economy and, according to the United States, provided shelter and support for al-Qaeda terrorists. Years of punishing U.S. sanctions have helped cut off Sudan from the international banking system.
It was always a challenge to open a bank account. Every country I go to, it was a serious challenge to just have a bank account.
Khalil saw the sanctions as punishment aimed at ordinary Sudanese. Successive U.S. administrations have discussed removing Sudan from the terrorism list over the years. That talk ramped up in the past year, following the ouster of Bashir, who's in jail in Khartoum. The current Sudanese government is now led by civilians and military leaders. They've prioritized removing Sudan from the terror list, says Jihad Mashamoun. He's a Sudanese political analyst based in the UK.
Even in the early days of the establishment of the government, all their programs were focused on removing Sudan from the state-sponsored terrorist list.
Behind-the-scenes negotiations between the U.S. and Sudan continued this year, but removal has hinged on some outstanding issues, in particular payments to victims of the 1998 terrorist attacks on U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania.
The debt for the bombing of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania and the U.S. coal ship is going to be paid, the reparations are going to be paid for that.
But there's been a big debate about how much Sudan should actually shell out. In the deal negotiated with the U.S., Sudan will pay more than $300 million to victims. That's only a fraction of the total decided by the courts. But it's still a lot of money for a struggling economy with massive debt. Khalil, the engineer, was in Sudan last week.
The Sudanese people are suffering from many things. No bread, no fuel, queues everywhere.
That's one reason why there's been so much international pressure to remove Sudan from the U.S. terror listing. But Jihad Mashamoun says things have become even more complicated in recent months.
It took, of course, a particularly interesting turn when Trump's administration suggested that Sudan may normalize relations with Israel.
That's a politically sensitive issue in Sudan, says Mashamoun. Not everyone in the current Sudanese government supports the idea of establishing diplomatic relations with Israel. And the same goes for the Sudanese public. President Trump did not mention Israel in his announcement on Twitter. And for now, excitement about the prospect of Sudan being taken off the terrorism list is running high. Last night, Sudan's Prime Minister, Abdallah Hamdok, talked about it as a major achievement. For Hamdok, this would be a huge opportunity domestically. But Trump's Twitter declaration is not the end of the story. The U.S. Congress still needs to review and approve the president's decision, and that could take several months. For The World, I'm Halima Gikandi in Nairobi.